the Gray Path Podcast with your host, Tony B. A podcast dedicated to the geeks, the freaks, the loners, and the left behinders. Join me while we dive deep into all of your favorite fandoms. Together, we will explore the lessons and discover inspiration within the vast world between the light and the dark. Discover yourself. Discover your gray path. Welcome to the Gray Path Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Tony B. Today, we are digging into the next piece in our special series regarding looking at the flip side, or the gray side, if you will, of many famous villains or heroes. Today, we're doing a quote-unquote villain episode. We're going to talk about the Mad King Thanos of Marvel. Specifically, we're going to discuss the MCU version of Thanos. Reason for that being the comic book version, he's not got as much nuance, in my opinion, and also focuses on things like the personification of death, et cetera, et cetera. So we're not going to be focusing on the comic version of Thanos today. We are going to be focusing on the Marvel Cinematic Universe version of Thanos, which, of course, took place pretty much from the first Avengers movie, when he's first kind of previewed, if you will, all the way up to his inevitable death at the end of Avengers Endgame. So without further ado, I'm just going to jump right in here. Now, typically speaking, when people think of Thanos, they think of, you know, the Mad Titan, which is what he's known as. He's, you know, they call him genocidal, a warlord, a criminal mastermind, a kingpin sort of character, but just all in all, just a bad dude. However, when we finally meet Thanos, he's not psychotic in the sense that he's not crazy. He's very logical. He's very thought-provoking, and he doesn't seem to take much joy in the task that he set about for himself. Thanos's life goal, if you will, is the destruction or erasing of half of all life in the universe. And that's a strange goal to have. So let's talk a little bit about his background and what led him to having such a interesting milestone that he's working towards. So Thanos is of the race. He's a Titan. Now, this was a race that is now extinct, but their home planet was Titan. Titan the planet. Now, Titans, the species, they have super strength. You've been able to see where Thanos is able to basically not even just hold his own, he kicks the crap out of the Hulk, but he's able to take a beating from the Hulk without so much as slowing him down in the least. You've also seen that he was able to rip the mind gem out of Vision. He was also able to hack away half of Captain America's shield. So he's clearly super strong, super durable. Obviously, Titans as a race have a very high constitution, which is how Thanos was able to do the snap originally without killing himself. If you're not familiar with the snap, we'll be discussing it in a little bit. He's very agile, especially for his size, which he is, you know, quite large. He's significantly larger than humans. He's even a little bit bigger than the Hulk. Now, granted, the Hulk that we see when Thanos and Hulk fight is not the Hulk's largest size. Also, Titans have an incredibly long lifespan. Now, in the MCU, up to this point, we've really only been introduced to two Titans, one of which we've only seen for a few seconds, and that's Thanos' brother, I think it's pronounced Uros. So, well, we're not going to talk about Uros. But so as a species, Titans are pretty godlike, pretty powerful. The planet itself was at one point in time this beautiful oasis style planet, if you will. And you find out through watching the movies, you know, the Titans had come to a problem on their planet. They were reaching a critical mass for overpopulation. Now, they didn't know what to do about this. It seemed like all the Titans were aware that this was something that was happening to their planet, but they couldn't come up with a solution that would actually fix the issue. Well, a young Thanos came forward, and his suggestion was that they take half of all of the life on the planet, chosen at random, and that half is killed. Now, of course, that's a pretty, it seems pretty extreme. That seems pretty extreme. I mean, just think about here on Earth. I mean, it's no lie that our Earth is finite. Our resources are finite. And we as humans are populating at a speed that is probably not sustainable. So sooner or later, I think mankind is going to be facing a similar issue as what happened on Titan. But again, just imagine in the midst of, you know, scientists and everyone trying to figure out a way to stop this, somebody comes forward and just says, hey, gather up everybody randomly, just take half of them, split them in half randomly and kill that half. It's a pretty extreme answer. Well, the response from the Titans was pretty extreme. They banished Thanos. They kicked him the hell off the planet. And that was that. Now, eventually, what happened to the planet is exactly what Thanos had predicted was going to happen. Everyone on the planet eventually died because they slowly wasted away as all of the resources were depleted. Now, this left a lasting impression on Thanos because he saw what happened to his planet. He saw what happened to his people. He came forward with a solution that was, you know, it was extreme, but it was extreme. It was an extreme circumstance. And their result was to banish him from his own planet. And he vowed not to let that happen. Now, his solution, much like it was on his planet, was to go around and get half of all life in the galaxy and take it out so that the remaining life, the, you know, the 50% that isn't killed, they then would be able to live prosperously because half of all the resources would free up, or there, one could say that the resource availability would double, if you will. So he used what he was good at, which was he was very powerful and he was very intelligent. So he started forming alliances. He gathered the Chitauri. He gathered other species. He teamed up with, notably with Loki of Asgard, and Ronan the Accuser, who is basically a Kree fanatic. So for my listeners who aren't familiar, the Kree are an alien species in the Marvel universe, in the MCU, typically at war with several other species, one of which is the Skrulls. But anyway, they're of course, have fanatics just like any species is bound to. And one of their fanatics is a person named Ronan, who he's like kind of like a religious zealot. But Thanos teams up with Ronan to get the Power Stone. He also teams up with Loki to get access to Earth. So then he can get, ultimately he's looking at a couple stones that were on Earth. He was looking to get the Space Stone, which was in the Tesseract. And he was looking to get the Time Stone, which was protected by the Ancient One in the Sanctum Sacrum. So if you're not familiar with what any of those words are, they all reference, some of those reference earlier Thor movies, as well as the first Avengers movie. Some of them reference Doctor Strange. If you don't have, you know, if you haven't seen the movies, following some of the stuff in today's episode might prove to be difficult, but I'd hope if you found this podcast, you chances are you've probably seen at least some of them, if not all of them. Eventually, Thanos comes into power on his own. He manages to create his little empire. He, you know, starts to find and locate and obtain the various stones. You know, when Thanos is going through the time of kind of building his empire, he stumbles upon the existence of the Infinity Stones, which, if combined, would give him the power to do exactly what he's trying to do, which is eliminate half of the life in the universe. A lot of his coming to power stage is really just trying to gather all the stones. Well, as happenstance is, due to, you know, plucky heroes or Thanos is not able to gather the stones that he needs. He's thwarted on multiple fronts. He gets thwarted going after the space gem. He gets thwarted with the Mind Stone. He gives up the Mind Stone. He gives it to Loki because he gives Loki the staff, and the Mind Stone was within the staff. So he's just not doing very well. So he finally just says, fuck it. I'm going to do this shit on my own. I don't know what the word is, but it's not really blackmails. He basically takes a dwarven smith hostage and forces him to make a gauntlet that would allow him to utilize all the powers of the stones. So basically like a channeling item, which is the Infinity Gauntlet. So now he's got his Infinity Gauntlet. He's got it sitting in his closet. He knows he has it. Now he needs the stones so that he can go ahead and achieve what he wants. Well, after his daughters and his underlings all fail, he says, forget it, I'm going to do this myself. So he goes around and he manages to finally collect all of them. Now, him collecting all the stones is kind of the basis of Avengers Infinity War. So if you're curious how Thanos does that and you haven't seen the movie for some chance, get that movie. It explains how he gets them all. Well, at the end of the movie, it becomes one of the, or I guess one could say probably the single most important event that's happened thus far in the MCU, and that is the snap. And the snap, for those who are not familiar, is Thanos gathers all the Infinity Stones. He gets them all in his gauntlet, and then he snaps his fingers. And with the snap of his fingers, he eliminates half of all life in the universe. Just like that, people basically disintegrate, I think would be the term. Kind of looks like they turn into like ash and then kind of flitter away into the nothingness. But he does it, it almost kills him, the release of energy from doing that almost kills him, but he does it. And just like that, half of all life in the universe starts to disappear. Now, it's the snap that typically makes everyone associate Thanos with being a villain. Not that he hasn't done plenty of despicable things before that point, but the snap is kind of the straw that broke the camel's back, if you will. It's the thing that's most associated with Thanos in the MCU as far as an evil act is concerned. But I'm here to challenge that and say that not only was the snap not an evil act, I actually think it was a necessity. And I'm going to state my case. Why was the snap right? Well, first and foremost, it was unbiased. It wasn't an ethnic cleansing. It wasn't a specified genocide of a particular people. It wasn't unbiased. Now, the only thing I think could have been made a little bit better, and maybe this was the case, they didn't address it in the movies, is I do think in order for Thanos to truly say that his snap was not or was unbiased and fair, he should have included himself in that. And maybe he did. Maybe just, he rolled that 50% that made it so he didn't disappear. But it was fair. Look at how much death occurs just in our world. It's the only world we know, but just think of how much death just occurs even just in the US, it's the country that I live in. Think of how much unnecessary death occurs each and every day or each year. Now, a lot of that is not unbiased. A lot of that is highly targeted. There's all kinds of socioeconomic factors. There's social factors. There's racial factors. There's all kinds of things that kind of play in that show that like the people that die, even just here in the US, it's not exactly an unbiased, fair comparison. And there's plenty of data to support that, plenty of data to back that up. Thanos' snap, it's fair. It's a fifth. Everybody gets an equal chance. It's a 50-50 chance that you make it. And if you don't, one of the things they talk about with the snap is it was painless. Like just one moment they were there, one moment they felt weird, and then they were gone. After the snap happens, there's a lot of good things that took place. The snap in a lot of ways, it healed worlds. The snap straight up healed. They talk about in the beginning of Endgame, Cap's running that survivors group and he's talking to them. And the one guy mentions that there were whales that are now swimming in the bay of San Francisco, things that hadn't been seen in years. Species that were on the verge of extinction are flourishing, coming back. There's all kinds of things. Look at how the nations of the world put aside centuries old conflicts to work together. Now people had chance to spread out, to move. The air quality was getting better. The pollution had been essentially cut in half. The world was healing, and that's just on Earth. Who knows what kind of things were happening in other planets. Life was getting a chance to renew as opposed to running out of things. Now there was a surplus. We went from not having enough to having a surplus. And most importantly, this problem of overpopulation and the using up of all the resources, Thanos not wrong. It's a real thing. It's a real thing in our world. It's a real thing in the MCU. This is something that is happening. And nobody else afforded any possible better option. That's the thing. On Titan, they rejected Thanos and then they banished him. But obviously they didn't have a better solution. I don't know. To me, the snap was absolutely necessary. Another thing to think about too is, and this is maybe getting a little meta here, but I do think it's important if we're looking at the story, the TVA, the Time Variance Authority, which showed up in the series, Loki, who protect the sacred timeline, obviously the snap was necessary. That was part of the sacred timeline. So that shows it needed to take place. You know, the snap prevented, it actually prevented Earth from being destroyed, which we find out in the movie The Eternals, because by eliminating half the life, it basically reset the clock on the waking up of the Eternal that was nesting inside of the Earth. So, I mean, that doesn't apply to our real world. But again, if you want to look at it through the lens of the world that existed in the MCU, you know, the snap was necessary. Otherwise, Earth was going to be destroyed when the Eternal woke up. So there's that. So on the other side of the snap is the blip. So the snap happens and then 5 years occurs. And then through the events of the movie Avengers Endgame, they managed to undo the snap. So Hulk, in his Professor Hulk persona, puts on a gauntlet made by Tony Stark with all five Infinity Stones in them. He snaps, and boom, everybody comes back. And of course, cue one of the coolest fucking scenes in superhero cinema, which is the big fight once everyone is snapped back in. And that event is called the blip. Essentially, everybody who was snapped out of existence reappears at the exact point in which they were located at when the, you know, when the snap occurred. So the blip was bringing them back. The snap was taking them away. Now, they say, well, I wouldn't even say so much. I think they're actually doing a really good job of exploring the grayness here. But in the MCU, the blip is seen as a good thing. Everybody who was snapped out of existence comes back. But obviously, there's way more to that worth exploring. To me, the blip was wrong. They shouldn't have done it. It was done by a bunch of grief-stricken people with hero complexes. So the people that did it are the people that felt like they had failed. Like Captain America felt like he failed. You know, Black Widow gave up her life because she hated the fact that they didn't stop Thanos from doing the snap. But the thing is, and this is explored a lot, like the political ramifications are explored a lot in the show The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, the blip caused a lot of problems. Now, some of the things that they address is the governments of the world were healing. You know, humanity and all these petty race riots and all those problems that we had, a lot of that shit was kind of put aside after the snap, and people started coming together. People who didn't have homes, now there was land and housing to do it. But then when the blip occurred and everybody came back, that was a huge problem because now you've redistributed borders, you've redistributed property, and now people came back. So it poses a legal, a moral, you know, an ethical question. A lot of problems happen. Not to mention, again, it didn't double the amount of supplies or whatever you want to call it, necessary things, resources. It didn't bring back the resources. Instead, it basically doubled the population. So once again, we're arguably at this point, the blip was a terrible idea because if for nothing else, bringing everybody back 5 years later with all the problems that are going to happen with redistributing property and redrawing borders and changes that must have happened to government, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, you're now putting everybody in a worse position. And it was wrong. It caused all kinds of problems. It caused massive refugee problems, which led to the events of Falcon and the Winter Soldier. And the people called the World Breakers or something like that, Border Breakers. There's a whole concept of these little vigilantes, if you will, who have an issue with the blip occurring and then everybody getting forced out of homes and lands that they've been living in for the last 5 years. It sucks. It would suck to be one of the people that were snapped out of existence. But again, you know, you have to realize those people who were snapped out, it sucked for them. I'm sure it did. But it was a relatively painless process that happened instantly. Before they even knew it, it was done. And that was it. You know, they didn't go when the blip occurs and they all come back. It's not like they'll languish in some weird ethereal plane. For them, those 5 years just never happened. It just ended. I mean, if you're going to go, that's probably the way to go. And as far as perpetuation of life as a whole is concerned, the snap was necessary. Does it suck that it had to occur? Sure. Maybe we should have made better decisions about overpopulation. But it was something that it was a real problem that needed a real solution. And there was no better solution posited that was going to get the same results, that was going to be as painless and as sudden as it was, and that was going to be unbiased. And I think that's the real thing that people don't give Thanos credit for. You know, Thanos could have done a lot of things. because he was powerful. There was no doubt about that. He was powerful as fuck. It took all of the Avengers and half the Guardians together just to take Thanos down. And even then, they only really won when Tony snapped him and his army out of existence. Thanos, if he really wanted to, could have ruled the galaxy, ruled the universe, and just ruled with an iron boot and did whatever the fuck he wanted to do. He was that powerful. But instead, he wanted to help the world as a whole. I mean, look at what happens after, what I call post-snap Thanos. So, and that's what happens at the beginning of Endgame. They find out he's on this moon. So they get him to the, you know, they track him to this moon and with the plan of stealing the gems off of him and undoing the snap, but only to find out Thanos is weak. I mean, he's a shell of his former self because he did a second, they call it snap, whatever. He used the gauntlet a second time, but he used it to destroy the stones so that they couldn't undo what he did. Now, some people might view that as, oh, that evil bastard. No, I think that was fucking smart because it also prevents Thanos from changing his mind, you know, getting empathetic, changing his mind and bringing everybody back or bringing a select group of people back or this or that or whatever. He personally sacrificed. He didn't sacrifice his life. Well, although I guess you can say he did sacrifice his life at the end because he knew destroying the stones made him vulnerable. One, because of what he did, pretty much everyone in the galaxy is going to be gunning for him. But not only that, by destroying the gems, he basically wrecks his own health. And when they show up and they're like, give us the stones back, we want to do it. And he can't. It's done. It's inevitable. I mean, he says at one point, I'm inevitable. And it's true. Death is inevitable. Thanos just offered probably the most fair way of dealing with a shit problem. And he was willing to give his life for it. I mean, he killed Gamora, which he killed Gamora. So people can say, well, how's that a selfless act? And it's not that it's selfless, but it hurt him to do so. He loved Gamora. He really did care about her. He did what he had to do to get the Soul Stone so he could finish it up. You know, that's an understanding. And because Thanos would have understood that death to get the Soul Stone is an irreversible death. It's not like he could get everything and then snap her back into it, you know, back in that Gamora would be forever dead. He makes some hard fucking decisions. You know, he does. He does what he needs to do and he takes his death for it. Like he knew Thor was going to execute him and he took the death. He didn't try to fight back. He just took the death. So ultimately the point of the episode, you know, is to talk about, while maybe not a popular opinion, Thanos is not a bad guy. Thanos is a necessary hero, if you will, because it is heroic to do what he did. If Thanos was just a psychopath with no empathy and no ability to feel pain himself, then his actions would not be noble. But he is capable of feeling pain and empathy and sadness, and he has a full range of emotion and he's highly intelligent, yet he still does what needs to be done in order to save the universe as a whole. And that's noble. He is a hero. He's one who's willing to make the hard choices. He's not a hero in the sense of freedom, justice, blah, blah, blah. He is what was necessary for the galaxy or the universe to continue. So my cap to you, Thanos, if I had a choice, I'd go in the snap because obviously it's a better way to do it. So that's what I got for you today. Think about that. I mean, some of you may already agree with me. I wanted to have this conversation. I knew Thanos wasn't as much of a villain as, let's say, Palpatine or some of the other people that we're going to be discussing or have discussed. But I thought that he brought in some interesting questions on what it means to make the hard choices, which is why I wanted to discuss them in this series. So next week, we'll be doing something that's near and dear to my heart, of course, which is the Jedi Order. And we are going to talk about the evil of the Jedi Order. They are not these shining bastions of light that they like to think about. And we're also going to have some discussion about how black and white is not very black and white sometimes. So as always, I'm your host, Tony B, and you all be safe out there.
Thank you all for listening today. Don't forget to follow me on social media at The Gray Path on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. If you enjoyed this episode, please don't forget to leave a 5-star review on iTunes or anywhere you listen to podcasts. It helps other people find the show. As always, I'm your host, Tony B, and you be safe out there.